All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the DFO Rundown Podcast with Frank Saravalli and Jason Greger on dailyfaceoff.com.
Welcome to episode 276 of the DFO Rundown. I'm Jason Greger, and as always, it's brought to you by Betano.ca, where you can get in the game. Of course, NHL, 7 games tonight, lighter Friday, and then 13 games on Saturday. You can have prop player bets, everything you like. And then, of course, Sunday, the big match, the Super Bowl, where Betano has you covered for everything you like for prop bets, the color of the Gatorade to length of the anthem, you name it, they got it, Betano.ca.
You know what I bet on every year?
What?
The coin flip.
Well, you got a 50% chance.
It's some of the best odds you can get all day.
Probably true. What do you bet? Do you always go heads or tails?
Oh, tails never fails, buddy. Can never go with heads. And just like when I play roulette, you will never see me bet red. I do not bet red.
Really?
Once you go black, you never go back.
Mm-hmm. Black and tails is what you are, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. It's February 8th when we are recording this, exactly 1 month from the NHL trade deadline, which of course goes on Friday, March 8th. And Frank, some guys off the trade board, of course, last week with Lindholm and Monahan getting moved. And so you got the new trade targets came out, and not a big surprise, but the Calgary Flames occupying the top spots, probably not where they want to be as an organization, but Noah Hanifin, 27 years of age, pending UFA, cap hit of $4.95 million. And then Chris Tanev is number two. He's 34 years of age, $4.5 million AAV in the final year of his deal. Hanifin's age, I would think, would likely make him more attractive to a team, especially if you can re-sign him. But, you know, Chris Tanev is definitely maybe more of a defensive specialist over Hanifin. So, you look at these two teams and, Toronto beat Dallas again last night. It's still like that would be an obvious team. Which other teams do you see interested in Hanifin?
Oh, I mean, the fascinating part about Hanifin is that we also now have some pretty good indication based on the way his negotiation went of what his market looks like. So no one's really going in blind. I think the understanding was that he was looking at an 8-year deal for $60 million flat, which would be $7.5 million a year.
Yeah.
The Flames put that on the table. They were waiting at the end of the aisle, but he got cold feet and didn't sign it.
Yeah.
So they're awaiting word this week. It's not a stone cold mortal lock that he gets moved, even though he's the new number one. But for me, he's the premier defenseman available on the rental market. And he's going to stay there until he signs a new deal.
Yeah, makes sense. I get why. Now, we've seen guys come down to the wire, and obviously if he doesn't get a new deal, I'm guessing Calgary's got no choice. They're going to have to trade him. I don't think they'd want to risk having him walk away in the summer like Johnny Gaudreau did for absolutely nothing. So it makes sense in that regard. Now, Chris Tanev, you think, doesn't seem like there's much negotiation there. Like, Tanev is more of a lock, do you think, to be dealt? Or what if Hanifin doesn't re-sign? Do you think they could pivot and re-sign Tanev instead?
Oh, I think Tanev is a lock to be traded. I just think with where they're heading, knowing that they're probably not going to be they may be a playoff team next year, but they're not going to be a contending team the next couple years until they can, you know, get moving in a different direction, which they're now well on their way after these trades. I mean, think about what Craig Conroy has turned Tyler Toffoli, Nikita Zadorov, and Elias Lindholm into in just 8 months. They, you know, if they're also moving Hanifin and Tanev, like, you've got a stockpile now from which you can deal. And that's a pretty intoxicating feeling, I'd imagine. But Tanev just doesn't fit their timeline to me. And as much as they like him, I think the value is elsewhere. It doesn't really make a lot of sense for them to re-sign him. And I'll add Ottawa into the mix too. Like, it's been bizarre to hear. Like, I get coveting Chris Tanev, but why would you trade for him now when you could potentially just wait and get him in the summer?
It depends if you know, it'd be like trading for his rights earlier, except, what's the cost going to be for Tanev? That's I'm kind of curious about, right?
It's a second.
Yeah. Well, so, we've seen guys in the past, Frank, you trade for their rights a week or two before, and sometimes it's a fifth, sometimes it's a fourth and stuff like that. So maybe if they value him that much, they say, let's just bite the bullet and not risk it. Now, I can see the counter argument and say, well, just wait and offer a fifth or a fourth to a team at that point. But I think there's also the risk of if a team that acquires Chris Tanev gets him and they have some playoff success, you know how guys are like, oh, well, now I've been here for a few months, I kind of like it, more likely to re-sign there.
Yeah, I get it. I guess my thing is I would just wait and see how he plays. I'd want to see the whole thing start to finish if I'm an acquiring team on Tanev. Where is he at? How much impact do you think he can make? And then the next thing is cost. Because it's not, even though it's probably shorter term, it's not going to be cheap. It's still probably in the $4 to $4.5 million range a year. Like, I don't think he's not at the point in his career. He hasn't made a pile of money like Mark Giordano where he could sign in Toronto for minimum or $900,000. Can't walk away from that extra coin on a year to year basis. I just think Calgary's in such an enviable position to be in. You've got the best, potentially best rental defenseman, then the next best rental defenseman in Tanev. And I wonder how much the Shillington return has changed their perspective a little bit when it comes to Hanifin. At the time that they offered Hanifin in October and were close to signing him, Shillington was in the country, but not anywhere close to coming back to play. Now that he's back, if you can go, and he's still also a pending UFA and no guarantee that he comes back, but if you are to keep him and you could go Uyghur, Anderson, Shillington, that at least covers you off a lot better than only having two of those guys, which I think was part of the reason why they really were pushing to keep Hanifin is, hey, look, if we're really looking at 2 to 3 years from now, we could maybe replace 2 to 3 defensemen on our roster, but it's going to be hard to replace 4 of them in a 2-year period of time of guys that we really believe in that can make a difference. So I think Calgary's in a great spot now. They could keep Hanifin and they're well solidified for the future. And if not, they're going to get a haul. He's by far the most impactful rental defenseman available.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Now, you've moved Jake Guentzel way down your list because he's not official.
He's always been way down at the bottom, yeah. FYI.
And until the Penguins, I think, are really, like, to me, if he's getting traded, it likely happens in 48 hours before the deadline, right? They look at where they're at, and we see they got games in hand on Pittsburgh. They had a huge win coming out of the break, shutting out Winnipeg. And it's funny, Frank, I was looking at the Penguins. When they decide to play, like, they've shut out, they dominated Vegas in a game. They've dominated, and that was before Vegas was hurt. And they dominated Winnipeg in a game. And they had another, they shut out another top team. I don't know if it's Boston, I can't remember who. But either way, like, some top teams. Then, of course, they'll soil themselves doing other things. And really, if their power play, if their power play was just average, not great, just average, how many more wins would they have? And so they score the two goals in the PP against Winnipeg. And I don't see Guentzel getting moved. I just think Pittsburgh is, now some can say it's a bad move, and I understand that, but I just don't see them wanting to just give away the season, because I still believe if you get to the postseason in the East, Frank, I don't care what seed number you are this year, I don't see a dominant lock team to say, okay, it's going to be really hard. Like, the two wildcard teams in the West are going to have a much harder team against Vancouver or Colorado or Dallas or Winnipeg than, like, the New York Rangers. Are they unbeatable? No. Heck, Shesterkin's not even their starter right now. Jonathan Quick's running the show in New York. Obviously, it's temporary, but still, right? So that's why I could see why Pittsburgh's like, let's just get in.
That's why I think it's going to come all the way down to March 8th. I think they've got plenty of time. Look, Kyle Dubas worked under Lou Lamoriello. If you have time, use it. That's his slogan.
Yeah, makes sense.
Why wouldn't you wait until the very last minute possible to make that determination one way or the other? There's no reason why you can't field calls in between now and then to at least have teams express their interest, so you know what the market looks like or have some idea of who you're calling in the last 72 hours before the deadline. But what if they are in the same spot that they are right now? They're basically one win away on points percentage from being in. And to your point, the East is pretty open. And more than that, they're so committed to this core with the contracts they have. And frankly, what they've given up, giving up the first round pick for Carlson, they already don't have it.
Yeah.
You've spent your assets. So me personally, I think if you're out 72 hours, even if it's 3 points, I think you have to trade Jake Guentzel. And I think you have to take a hard line stand, because after Guentzel, the next big question is who on your Penguins roster is going to bring you any sort of return in a trade. And I'm not including Sidney Crosby in that group, because I don't think he's getting traded at any point. Tell me, among your team, maybe at some point as a pending UFA or something, or if you really get creative, you could move Evgeny Malkin. Tell me who on this team is going to generate a return for them outside of Guentzel that's going to kickstart the rebuild, because they are heading for the longest period of darkness that we're going to see in the NHL since the Oilers.
I'll tell you, Chicago is a long way from seeing the light.
I disagree.
Okay.
Wow. They've already done the hardest thing. They've got the franchise centerpiece. How many teams meander forever and end up with just guys?
I know.
We had top picks. We had a not knocking on the Rangers, because they've played fine, but like, there's a big difference between getting Connor Bedard and getting Alexi Lafreniere. So they've done the hardest thing you can do, which is get the it's a lot easier to fill out. I know the Oilers are proof of how hard it is, but it's a lot easier to recruit talent when you are a big market, big spending team where people want to play and live. Just look at this summer and how active the Hawks are going to be. They're not going to have a massive turnaround for next season, but 2025-26, that's the year that you're going to see the Hawks on the rise.
Well, considering the Hawks now, if it wasn't for COVID, Frank, the Hawks, this would be year number 8 of missing the playoffs, right? So next year will be 9. So I could see if maybe they start to see some light. You know, the COVID. Well,
what's the two things the Hawks and Pens have in common?
Well, they got Bedard.
Well, right? No, they've both won 3 Stanley Cups prior to entering the period of darkness.
Yeah, yeah. Oh no, and that's what I'm saying. But
that's also a big differentiator, right?
Yes. Oh God, yeah, yeah. No, Edmonton's was terrible. There's no, like, trust me, it'd be hard to be worse than that. But I look at Chicago, and after Connor Bedard, like, you know, you can go out and you can sign veterans, but how many really quality veterans are there every year in free agency, right? And you can overpay guys and get good players, like, you know, good character guys like Nick Foligno, and I understand all of that. But at the end of the day, like I've always said, Bedard was really the start of their rebuild. Kevin Korchinski, maybe, if you want to say, is year one of their top picks. Bedard's only number 2. So they're going to have a lot of picks coming. I won't be surprised if there's another 3 years without playoffs in Chicago at all, which means they'll probably have 3 outdoor games in the meantime between then. So, but
let's make a wager, because yesterday was 3 years to the day since we dropped our first DFO rundown, episode 1. Paul Maurice was our first guest. If we're still doing this in 2026, what can I wager with you that the Blackhawks make the playoffs that year?
So they're making the playoffs, you're saying, in 2 years from like today, 2 years from now, they'll be in a playoff run and then they're going to make it.
Yeah, I think they're going to be one of the last teams in.
I don't know. It's a long ways away for a bet.
Yeah. Well, I'm just throwing it out there. Well, we got plenty of time to discuss the terms. Well,
we'll discuss the parameters.
But that's I'm feeling it. It's going to happen.
All right. A few guys, I was looking at your trade rate bait board, Frank, and you look at Philadelphia's interesting one, right? John Tortorella felt lack of practice, lots of games. Their team was getting tired. They lost 5 in a row. They come back, they win their first game, but you still have 2 Flyers. And they've said it before on the record is, hey, where we're at in our rebuild, there'll be some guys who get moved that maybe you don't think so. And they have 2 of them in your top 10, Sean Walker, Scott Laughton. What about Konechny? Do you think there's, like, what would it take for them? I know you've talked about it, but you don't have him on your list. So is your discussion, like, you think that they're not interested in moving him right now?
I mean, I don't know. I don't think they're dying to move him or anything like that. I think it would take an incredible offer. And I think with a player of Konechny's stature, it makes way more sense to involve double the field of potential teams in the summer if you're really going to do it. I get the idea of having him for an additional playoff run, but I don't think the price difference between now at the deadline and Konechny in the summer is going to be different. And I think they have to have something left. They have to have a common thread that fans can buy into. And, you know, you're starting to see a little bit of that, like Owen Tippett signing his long-term deal. Konechny obviously he's been really the heartbeat of that team, and to remove him, I think it would send a tough message to the marketplace more than some of the other guys that I think they're real conscious of that. They like what they've built. There has to be some sort of tie over.
Yeah, that's fair. Now the one guy you don't have on your list, Frank, is the one guy I would have on my list, because I don't think they can get back in it. The New Jersey Devils and Tyler Toffoli, right? He's won a cup. He's having a great year. He had a very good year last year. Now maybe they don't want to just, you know, move him right away or not, because they feel like, hey, let's just try to re-sign him first. So I understand that. But I think he's a player that have lots of interest for teams, right? Especially if the Devils are retaining salary.
Yeah, but they're another team that's one win away from being in. Quite literally on points percentage.
Well, no, because even if they won both of their games, they would still be 1 point back of Detroit. So, right? Because they're 5 back with 2 games in hand. So You're right. I get that
they're three games in hand on Tampa. Tampa's at 578 points percentage. New Jersey's at 552. And they just got Jack Hughes back. Like, I just think it's too early. So
that's fair.
The point is, first off, people get twisted. Trade targets is a living, breathing list. So if Noah Hanifin were to sign today,
He's obviously off the list.
Right. But more than that, it's too early on some of these guys. I think the Devils, more than the Penguins, owe it to themselves after what they gave up for Toffoli to see it through. See how the dynamic changes with Jack Hughes back. Are you going to spend some of the Dougie Hamilton money to improve your defense? What about your goaltending? And if so, to your point, the sooner the Devils act, the better. Waiting closer to March 8th is not going to help them. It's certainly not going to help them make a decision on Toffoli.
No. Well, I'll say this, Frank. I know you're watching the game last night. Like, the East is really wide open with teams. The Flyers, the Lightning, the Red Wings, everybody's in it. And Sergachev last night, I don't know if you saw him after the game. So Sergachev, anybody who wasn't watching the game, he goes down on a reverse hit. Looked like he hurt his ankle. He just came back. And then he took to his own social media post and said, quote, "Oh, man, why me? Why now? After all the games missed, coming back and getting injured again feels unfair. Feels terrible. Trying to stay calm and positive, but it's impossible. After doing everything right, I get this. The universe is unpredictable and has its own plan. But fuck the universe, man. I know I'll come back stronger and I know I'll play better than before, but it's tough right now and it's going to be tough tomorrow." So obviously doesn't sound like it's a short-term injury for Sergachev on the back end for Tampa Bay.
It looked like his ankle snapped for sure.
Oh, yeah.
It was a gruesome, do not watch that in slow motion. That's tough. I mean, I wonder, for a Tampa team that was already looking for defense, does this spell a death knell to their season? And I say that for a team that's in a playoff spot, but Sergachev getting him back was a huge part of their push. Mm-hmm. And now with two holes to fill, do you suddenly sit back and say it might not be worth the assets to do it?
Well, they've never done it yet, right? Breezeball has never, he's never been hesitant to make big moves. So,
they haven't done it yet, but it doesn't mean they won't.
Right.
That's a huge difference between then and now.
But their guys, like, look at you got Nikita Kucherov for three more years after this. Braden Point has, what, another 6 years after this. You know, Sergachev's on a big deal. Cernak's on a big deal. Vasilevsky's got 4 years after this. Like, I know Steven Stamkos is a UFA, but Cirelli's long-term. Nick Paul's long-term. Braden Hagel's long-term. Like, I just don't see them, Frank, now maybe for 1 year, and they say, okay, but who could you trade? Like, if you're Tampa, you don't really have a lot of assets that you would move unless you're moving Steven Stamkos, right? But there's
already said publicly he's not doing that.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was one of those situations where I saw the quote and I was like, that's odd that anyone would even think of it as new. Like, it never was even on my radar that Steven Stamkos could be a guy that could move. Yeah. And
so they don't have anybody, is my point. Like, I don't.
But
assets are you
moving? I'm not saying trade away. I'm just saying, what if you just stand pat? That was my point.
Yeah.
Why doesn't the Tanner Janot trade from last year stand out as really poor?
Well, yeah. And they already don't have a first and a second this year, and they don't have a first in 25.
Well, yeah, because you traded a first, second, third, fourth, and fifth plus Cal Foot for Janot last year.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 6 goals this year.
Yeah.
I know he's hurt right now, but 6 goals. So the other common thread was the last couple of years, if you look back in their playbook, they traded for Hagel, who had term, gave up a lot to get him, but then extended him. Nick Paul traded for him, extended him, 7-year deal. Like, it's... if you're going to see Julien Brisebois make a splash, which I'm not convinced he is, especially after the Sergachev, if he's going to trade for someone, it's either someone with term or someone that he can readily extend?
Probably. Yeah. Or like if he could get just a defenseman, Frank, for a mid-round pick, I could see him doing something like that. Not a massive turn. And, you know, like if Chris Tanev's only a second, like what is Matt Dumba gonna require? Right. Like maybe they just say, hey, you know what? We'll bring in Matt Dumba. We know Sergachev's out. And now I know, you know, different side, all that. I understand it, but still
I can see that making sense.
Yeah. Are there
other teams in that mode that you think, like, where do you come out on the Leafs?
Oh, gosh.
Should the they Leafs be a team defense, that right now should be, if you're not ready to make a splash, nibble around the edges?
Well, I think they have to add a defenseman for sure, maybe two. I'd also think it's at some point you can't just play six forwards. Can't do it. You got to have some trust in some of your other players, I would think. And that'd be just me, though.
Lack of production?
I get, you know, chicken and the egg formula for sure, right? But play if guys are struggling, Frank, playing them less isn't going to help them struggle less. You know what I mean?
Well, we've seen that.
Yeah. So, but I still think, you know, like the Leafs, like their big gun score, there's no question about that. But I still think they have to improve their back end. And,
here's the thing. I think Brad Treliving is, not only has he been active, but he's willing to be aggressive and trade the first round pick, but only if he can kill multiple birds with one stone.
Now, if you're saying, like the Tanev is only a second, I'd be curious as to why. Like, why wouldn't Toronto jump on that already? Like, you don't have to give
they
up.
They don't have first. A second. They don't have a second for 3 years. Oh, that's their problem. And Calgary has said to Toronto, "We know you're interested, but since you don't have a second, it's not going the other way. The price is a first." And so then I think the conversation has been, "Well, if it is a first, what would we need to add to get Tanev and Hanifin?"
Hmm. Well, that would be a blockbuster.
And in that case, you could see it making sense. Like, okay, if you're going to trade the first, then you might as well at least, and then you could, if you had the inkling to re-sign Hanifin, not Tanev.
Yeah. Yeah, because, Calgary doesn't want, like, they wouldn't take two lower picks. Like, they wouldn't take 2/3 instead of 1 second.
No. There's that doesn't equate on the draft value chart.
No.
And not when other teams are offering a second. Why would
you? Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, no, that's fair. So, but the other name on your board, like when you go through the board and you look at guys that you think are could be quiet, like you have two goalies in the top 10 and Jake Allen and Marc-Andre Fleury. And when you look at the goaltending market, it's, you know, it's obviously unstable. I think Colorado is still one that would seem like an obvious one to me to like, and they need a goalie to me sooner than later. Simply because you don't want to overplay Georgiev more than you already have, right? So to me, that's the one.
That's the one where Marc-Andre Fleury makes so much sense.
Yeah, 100%.
He wants to play. He wants to contribute. Like if he's going to raise his hand and move, which is not a lock, he doesn't want to just sit there and be a cheerleader who smiles and opens up the door. He's a competitor. He wants to play. If you know that you've played Georgiev too much, and Chris McFarland has admitted as such that they'd like him to be closer to 55 games than be on track for 66 like he is, that he's the perfect guy down the stretch to do it. Plus the additional playoff insurance along the way. And by the way, Georgiev's, because he's played so much, his numbers are not out of this world. Like it's not a foregone conclusion to say that Fleury with equal play, does he have a chance to supplant Georgiev? I think the answer to that would be yes.
Yeah. So I
unlikely, I but it would at least you'd have to consider it if it happened.
Be an option. Because outside of Colorado, like maybe LA, Vancouver doesn't need a goalie. I don't think Edmonton's really in the market for a goalie at this point. Dallas, no. Winnipeg, no. Vegas, no. So you look at LA, it's maybe, and Colorado in the West. In the East, you know, you go down the list of teams. Philadelphia, I think would be in one, obviously, with Carter Hart gone if they wanted one.
Nope. Right? They like Sam Ersin.
Yeah. But even just a backup is all I'm saying, right?
They have Cal Peterson.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah.
They don't need him.
They look at Rangers, no. The Islanders, no. Pittsburgh, no. Carolina, yes. Right, like, so those, like, there's only a few teams that I look at that I think need goalies, right? So Carolina,
what about Toronto? Are you comfortable with Samsonov?
I think with their three, if I'm Toronto and I'm looking to move assets, like, I guess if I can get my defenseman first and I still have room, then I would look. But to me, their main priority first is defense rather than goaltending. They've got three goalies, right?
Yeah.
Wall's not out for the year.
No, I really like Joe Wall. And
yeah, so I don't see a goalie there.
I think the market for Fleury is probably a third.
Yeah. Colorado just, it makes too much sense for me.
Carolina would make a lot.
Yes. I don't sleep on the Hurricanes either. Those are the only three teams I see potentially. But the thing is, like, David Rittich, Frank, has played really well given the opportunity. I know that people will look and say, hey, I don't know, but let's be honest. At this time last year, no one in their right mind thought Aiden Hill was going to be Aiden Hill.
Yeah.
Goaltending, it's so weird from year to year. And
so what about New Jersey?
Yeah, I guess you could throw in the Devils too. That's fair. But like you said, I don't think the Devils, if they do it, they're going to be, you know, now we could argue that maybe it'd be better to do it sooner because if you wait too long, then your goaltending's not good. By then, it hasn't improved your lot in the playoff race. But yeah, Devils I'd put in as a fourth team. That's fair.
If I'm New Jersey and I'm trading for a goalie, I'd want someone that has a little bit of term. I want stability.
Jake Allen?
Jake Allen would make sense to me. So would...
What about Merzlikins?
Nah, I wouldn't want that much term, that much dollars. Like, that's the great thing about Montreal and the spot that they're in with Jake Allen. The key to the Sean Monahan trade was that they didn't retain money. Mm-hmm. And now they have one spot left open. So if it's retaining on Allen, great. And if not, they're going to use it to help facilitate a trade before the deadline on March 8th that they could be pretty aggressive now. If you eat half on Allen, you get him down to one something. That's a pretty attractive deal for a couple years for a guy that's been really rather consistent and hasn't played with a great team in front of him.
Yeah, and the Joel Edmondson retainer falls off at the end of this season, so then they get a new one starting again next year.
Yeah,
and because they're probably in a similar position, so
yep,
it's it's interesting with all the trade talk a month out, which teams are looking at what, and you know, I always like to look at the trade bait board for guys I think that can be impact guys that can help your team because it's not always the big swing, to be honest, right? It's just looking for, you know, depth guys that you feel can get hot at the right time. Like, you know, like I still like Vlade Tarasenko, man. There's something about Tarasenko that I wonder that, you know, Ottawa is probably going to retain half. You know, you get rid of him. I don't think he's commanding a big return, Frank. I think there's a chance that there's a guy who, you know, just I'm talking about scoring key goals. There's not many better shooters available than Tarasenko.
I think that's fair. He also holds all the cards, which is part of the problem. He has a full no trade.
Yeah.
And he just fired his agent and hired another one for the second time in 7 months. He went with teammate Brady Tkachuk's uncle, Craig Oster of Newport Sports. So what's his end game there?
Yeah.
What's he trying to do? Is he trying to get out? Is he trying to stay there? Typically, you don't fire your agent unless you're looking to do something different.
Yes. Yeah. So that's fair. And the other guy that he doesn't get talked about a lot around, you know, circles, but I'm telling you, for if you're looking for a role player, Nick Dowd from the Washington Capitals, I wouldn't be surprised, Frank, if he ends up getting bigger returns. Some people are like, what? Nick Dowd got that? I think
Nick Dowd would be a first round pick.
Yeah. He offers a lot for some
people's heads explode when I say that, but that's what the price would be for Nick Dowd. First round pick.
Yeah. Well, he's got term, right? He's not just a UFA.
Yeah. And I know he's not a center, but one guy I'd give a real long look to is Brandon Duhame of the Wild. He is the prototype bottom six winger for a playoff team. He flies.
Yeah.
He forechecks his ass off, has edge and grit, and he chips in the odd goal every now and again. Last year, he's at nine goals. And he barely makes any money.
Mm-hmm. That's the key.
So what can you get if you're Minnesota? Can you get a second round pick?
Yeah, and that's where I'm always torn, right? Like, yeah, you look at the potential and the odds of what a second round pick will be. Are they going to be better than the Duhane? Right now he is a UFA, so maybe that's what they're worried about and all that stuff, that he's just going to walk anyway.
Well, yeah,
so
he just went through arbitration with them.
Yeah.
And you're going to need to pay him to stay. I think if you're Mini, what you do is cash in on the pick if you can and try and create another Brandon Duhame somewhere else.
Yeah, like he did have 9 goals last year, but he had 10 points, right? Like, how much is he going to get in free agency would be my question, right? Like, is he really going to be that much more expensive? He's on pace.
Re-sign him.
Yeah, well, I guess. Yeah, you know, how often does that happen? We talk about it all the time, but how many guys get
hardly
traded?
Ever?
Exactly. So usually, you know, teams.
By the way, I also, speaking of that, I wouldn't rule out Monahan coming back to Montreal. I'm not saying it's likely, but I think that they'd be interested in that.
Yeah, see, don't you think the Jets are interested in re-signing him?
They should be.
Yeah.
I know it's one game, but Rick Bonus raved about him.
Oh, and he's played in Canada lots. So he likes it. So, you know, the Jets, clearly there's an opening right there. Like, to me, the minute the trade went down, I said, man, it makes a lot of sense to see a re-sign right there. Right? Like, to me, this is Paul Stastny all over.
Yeah.
Just a different player.
If you get a chance, go back and watch our Daily Faceoff Live from Monday. We had John Goyens on, he does a lot of the Habs games on color on radio. So he's seen Monahan all year, but he's unreal at breaking down film. And he showed all the different spots that the Jets have struggled on their 24th ranked power play because they don't have someone to play the bumper position. And Monahan has executed that so well this year for the Habs. The video was excellent to explain why he's the perfect fit. In addition to being a 200-foot guy that has had a great season, just the bumper power play position alone, if he can improve them half in the standings to go from 24th to 12th, they'll be that much more of a dangerous team, especially when it comes to the playoffs.
Now, what about the top teams, Frank? You know, none of their players are on the trade bait board, obviously, but when you look at, you know, like Vegas and what they would be interested in, I think most people know what Edmonton's looking at. You know, you look at a team like Dallas, for instance, or Boston, or the Rangers. You know, how busy do you think these top teams are going to be at the deadline?
I think the Rangers are going to be pretty aggressive. There was a report out there that the Rangers weren't interested in moving their first round pick because they're hosting the draft at the Sphere and the Rangers owner owns the Sphere, that the Rangers want to, you know, make a big splash at the draft. I wouldn't put that much stock into that. I don't think the Rangers are going to let the draft being at the Sphere get in the way of improving their team. That's the way I would explain it. So we know that they were after Lindholm. We know that they probably need two centers.
Yeah.
Where can they mine those guys that will be really good fits? And what's the price? That's really what New York's looking at. And wouldn't be shocked to also see them grab a winger. You know, maybe one center and a winger. Think back to the last couple of years. Tarasenko, right side.
Yeah.
Patrick Kane, right side. Like they, you know, it's easy to see it there.
Before we get to Tyler, I saw you tweet out, Frank, the Arizona Coyotes. You'd mentioned on Monday's pod how you thought there was a third option of someone else coming in and potentially offering to buy the team. And turns out it's a guy who's wheeled and dealed. And I know he bought more Suns games on free cable in Arizona, and fans were loving it. So what do you make? I saw your tweet last night.
Are you a Suns fan, by the way?
I like the Suns. Yeah, yeah. I've been to their games because we were there, but I wouldn't say I'm a Suns fan. No, I like their team, but I'm not like a fan.
Mm-hmm. I don't think Matt Ishbia, the owner of the Suns, is part of this. And I'm not saying he won't be and not ever, but I don't think he's in the mix now. And I don't really think it's on their radar. I think whatever is playing out with the Coyotes, which it's really kind of hard to handicap, because what you begin to get into is a franchise issue in and of itself, where the league has been really clear with Arizona. You need to present us your concrete plan, and not just the, hey, well, we're going to do this. No, it's these are the steps that we've taken to put shovels and steel in the ground on a new arena. They need a concrete plan, and they don't have one. And I don't, to my knowledge, they aren't really close to one. And you heard Marty Walsh put them on blast, that at some point the league is going to have to step in and say, whatever the situation, however it plays itself out, whether you sell the team yourself to someone else and it relocates, we force you to sell the team, or you sell the team to us, whatever happens next, there's something coming in Arizona, and soon. And I reported earlier this week, potentially as soon as this weekend, but it's happening. They're on the clock. And I'm not saying they're absolutely relocating, because I've outlined a couple ways in which they could stay, including selling the team to another owner who then privately, that's why Matt Ishbia from the Suns came up, which would be, hey, park the team at Footprint Center where the Suns play, improve the ice plant as a temporary solution. You're going to overnight almost quadruple the attendance for the Coyotes, at least in terms of available seats.
Yes.
Moving from Mullet Arena, have that be a temporary stopgap for a couple years. And in the meantime, Matt Ishbia, having both teams in his portfolio, is a lot easier to negotiate with. And he has a lot more incentive on his own right to build a new arena privately, where you don't need to rely on government sources for land or something like that to get something done. And so that was the thought process. Now, unless there's some other mystery Arizona businessman that steps up and is willing, or business person is willing to step up and buy the team and do all that privately, it seems like the only other option then is to move the team.
Yeah. I wonder if they would, if they're relocating, they would announce it, you know, so the fans get one final game, or would they prefer to do it differently like they did with Atlanta? I wonder. So,
I mean, look, here's the truth. A lot of the tickets, I'd imagine, for the Coyotes for the rest of the season are already sold, since it is a small arena, right? Yeah. That you're probably not going to experience a huge hit. There might be some nostalgia of, like you said, going to see a team. Or if you're an opposing fan, like Tyler and the Nation Vacation, they wanted to make sure they got to Mullet Arena before the viewing situation changes. And it's a unique experience in a small environment to see an NHL team. You know, I don't think you're going to run into like what the Oakland A's did last year, where you're getting 437 people at a game.
Yeah.
Could be wrong.
Let's bring in Tyler Yaremchuk to the program.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ty, how you doing?
I'm doing good, boys. Ready to roll with a new edition of Buy or Sell, which is, as always, delivered by DoorDash. For a limited time, our Canadian listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. Let's take a little bit of a break from the trade talk. I got this one for you to kick off. Buy or sell. Brendan Dillon getting three games was too damn high. Buy or sell, Griggs?
I'll sell. You know what? It's a headshot. Now, it wasn't nearly as bad as Gallagher. Let's make that abundantly clear, right? That's in the course of a play. You're going for a hit. The fact the helmet pops off, it's kind of hard to argue that it wasn't contact to the head.
I will buy. I think this, if you were going to do it, it's a one game suspension. And part of it is, look, I understand the point that Department of Player Safety made in the video, which is they think it's on Brendan Dillon with the angle of attack that he takes. Me personally, watching that hit in real time, I don't think anyone loves the end result, which is a player who obviously has been hit to the head. I just look at that play and I say, man, it looks like a hockey play to me. Like, he didn't stick his arm out or his elbow. It's a hard shoulder and it's unfortunate, but I personally was pretty comfortable with this hit in real time. And I thought the major and getting kicked out of the game was enough for me.
Yeah, that's kind of where I came out on it as well. I was surprised to see him get more than a game. I thought even two would have been extreme. All right, moving along to the next one. You guys know I love talking about 50 goal scorers. Last year, we got five of them in the NHL. So far this season, we have eight players who are on pace, and it's roughly eight because Brock Besser is on pace for like 49.4, but I'm including him in the conversation. You got Matthews, Reinhart, Pastrnak, McKinnon, Kucherov, Panarin, Besser, and Zach Hyman with 30 goals in 45 games so far this season. I'm going to say four of those players end up hitting the 50 goal mark. Buy or sell, Frank?
I'm going to sell. I think seven of the eight, the guy that I don't think is going to get there is going to be Besser. I think he's going to slow down a bit. And it's been an unreal year for him, but he's already slightly south of the pace, and it's not really going to take that much more. You know, you have a five-game run where you don't, you know, you score once. All of a sudden, it's really going to drop. And I feel pretty confident health-wise. I mean, look at Matthews and Reinhart are most of the way there. Yeah. McKinnon, no doubt. For me, it would be the first time he hits 50 in his career, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Panarin is maybe the real surprise. Is he not? I mean, Besser, let me park that. Besser is a huge surprise based on the way the last couple years went. But Panarin is not, he's not typically been a goal scorer. He's been an assist guy.
Yeah, he's got a couple.
I mean, Panarin's already, this is already his career high.
Yeah.
Think about that. We're only what? We're 51 games into the season. He's one off of his career high.
Jay, I'm going with 450 goal scorers. Are you buying or selling on that?
Well, Matthews, Reinhardt, and Pastrnak for sure. I think McKinnon, the way he's playing. Now, him and Kucherov, neither one of them has ever scored more than 42. So, you know, for both of those guys, it's going to be career years and goals too. I don't see Panarin getting there. Frank just outlined all the reasons why I don't think he's going to get there, because we've never seen him score like this before. So Besser, I agree. His numbers have slowed down. Zach Hyman's, you know, obviously his career high is only 36. So I'm going to go 50 is hard, man. I will say five.
All right. It's interesting to see a guy like Brock Besser as well. He's got three hat tricks on the season, one of which was a four goal game. So 10 of his goals already this season have come in a three game span, I guess you could kind of say. Nathan MacKinnon also has 2 4 goal games already this year. No hat tricks, just 2 4 goal games for Nate Mack as well. So I was digging through some numbers a little bit.
So technically that would be 2 hat tricks.
Yeah, I know. But you know what I'm saying? He hasn't finished with 3. He has 2 4 goal games, no 3 goal games, which is just kind of a weird thing.
Panarin, by the way, has 4 in his last 6.
Damn.
So not really slowing down.
All right, let's wrap up with one more trade-related one. We've already seen 2 first-round picks get moved in the last month. I am going to say we will see 4, at least 4 more first-round picks move before the deadline. Buy or sell, Greggs?
4 more?
4 more, Frank. Come on, let's get aggressive.
4 more. Oof. Well,
2 in the East, 2 in the West.
Nope.
Nah, I don't, unless there's some guys, like, my caveat to that is, unless there's a team that suddenly has a Matthias Ekholm-like player who's, you know, got lots of term left, like John Carlson in Washington. I'll use him as an example. He's got 2 years extra. What if John Carlson, the Caps, you know what? They have, you know, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying that would be a player that could command a first, right? He's got term.
Right. Where did this name come from? Like, did you just pull this out of your ass?
No, I was looking at guys like, who are guys on bad teams? That, like, Kuznetsov's gone, like, Washington's going in the ditch, man. Like, let's be honest.
Kuznetsov is in the program. He's not going.
I know, but Backstrom left. Ovechkin's really slowed down. They're getting old. I'm just saying, if there was a guy that would fit the bill, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying that's the guy, right? So you have to look at teams. Because on Frank's list, I think Noah Hanifin could get a first. And, like, after that, guys, I'm not
Scott sure. Scott Laughton, I think, gets a first.
Laughton, you think it's a first? Okay.
100%. If Sean Monahan's getting a first, Scott Laughton's getting a first.
Okay.
He's got term.
He's got term, well, and he's better. He's got
term. Okay, so that's
maybe
2.
Maybe not as impactful offensively, but he does a lot more.
All right, Frank, you're selling.
I'm gonna sell. I will say there's not going to be 4 more.
So Hanifin, Henrique, Laughton, that's 3.
And 1 deal for a future or for a guy with term that we're maybe not talking
about. Yeah, I'm going to buy.
Yeah.
So I'll add in, I was originally selling all day, but those 3 I think are locks if they get traded, which is not the lock. But then it only takes 1 additional person that we're not really thinking of. Like, a new guy on my board that hasn't been brought up at all is Pavel Buchnevich. He's been unreal in St. Louis. Is there a more unheralded player that's been a point per game guy?
When I read your trade targets this morning and I saw that line, I was like, holy shit, he is a point per game guy. You go look at
182 points in 183 games since joining the Blues.
So why are you trading him?
Because they're not going to pay him. They're just not. Doug Armstrong got him from the Rangers because the Rangers weren't going to pay him as an RFA. He only gave up a 2nd-round pick to get him.
Damn.
Yeah. So why don't, but my question would be this, you just outlined why you should pay him. He's productive.
No, but that's the thing. He's turning 30. Your team's not great. So would you pay Pavel Buchnevich $8 million a year on a long-term deal?
Well, not long-term. See, that's the key. And
why does he have any incentive to take short term? So here's my point in a nutshell. The Blues aren't going to be the team that gives Buchnevich $60 some million. I don't think. That's just my personal opinion, which is why he's on the board. Rival teams are looking at that roster going, hey, that's a guy that potentially, if we made the right offer, 2 years of Buchnevich this year and next at 5'8" at a point per game guy. That's your Jake Guentzel that no one's talking about, and he's got term.
Yeah.
Mm. All right, there you go. Vindication for me is I finally got you guys to buy on one of my ideas. I'm going to treat myself by ordering DoorDash for breakfast. That's a wrap on Buy or Sell. See you, boys.
Double dash that for the win.
Like, I just...
Did you hear me? I said double dash that for the win.
Yeah, well, I know. I heard it. But, like, Buchnevich, that's the other thing. Like, you're trading him now. Why? Like, the Blues are close. Now, I get that they're probably not a deep playoff run, but guy's really productive. He's got 1 year left.
But if you're going to be in the same malaise next year and you're not going to pay him anyway,
But a 31, I don't think he's getting 8 years. I don't even think he's getting 7 years when his deal's done.
He's not 31.
He'll be 30, sorry, when his deal's done, won't he?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry.
He's 28 now. So yeah, this but year, next year is his 29 year. 30 would be
his, when he starts
of his first year.
Yeah, so.
He's getting at least 6 years.
Yeah, probably.
Are you going to give him $8 million a year, $8.5 million?
But he's a player to me that has shown, given more opportunity, he's productive, right? And NHL players now, he doesn't have a lot of wear on it, like a lot of tread going on his tires. He hasn't even played 500 games yet at the age of 30. Like, he doesn't seem to me like a player that's going to hit 32 and just hit the skids. You know what I mean?
No, you are making my point for me as to why he should be traded.
Why? I don't understand why teams give up good players. We're like, hey, here's a guy who's productive for us. We think he's going to be productive for 5 years.
A haul for a guy that you don't have intentions on paying.
Yeah, I guess. The Blues might have. That was what their intentions were with Pietrangelo. How'd that work out? I guess that would be my point, right? They clearly misread the market significantly, the importance of him to your team. And I don't know, like, they've signed all these other guys. Maybe it's like, well, geez, we don't want to sign the one guy. I'm like, yeah, but he's the most productive guy. Doesn't make sense to me.
Okay.
Like, hey, I could get why a team would want him, though. You're right. At 5.8 mil, he's a really good value player for two playoff runs. That's the advantage. But the odds that a late first round pick becomes Buchnevich, it's pretty low if you're the Blues. So we'll see. Oh, before we go, Frank. Are you still in? Did you last? Or are you out?
No. I suck at the Wendy's Daily Face-Off Survivor Pool again.
Oh, it's so awesome. People could, like, I think I'm going to join now. And I think my goal is I'm going to join next week and see if I can catch Frank. And all of the listeners, just sign up. Go to dailyfaceoff.com in the Wendy's Survivor Pool. And how many right do you get? Because it's a total, right? What do you got, 7?
I don't know. I don't even know. It's not even enough to be a threat.
All right. Maybe Ty and I will sign up just to see if we can make a late run to catch Frank. That'll be our goal at the Wendy Survivor Pool. Sign up, people. That'll be our goal. See if we can catch Frank. Have a good one. Do some studying on the weekend, Frank. So maybe you can last till Wednesday next week in the Survivor Pool.
Thanks for listening to the DFO Rundown with Saravalli and Gregor. Keep it locked on dailyfaceoff.com and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. And let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with 4 questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners,
You're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh Nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.